From Georgia Public Broadcasting, this is On Second Thought. I'm Virginia Prescott. As peak tornado season bears down on the southeast, we're looking at who gets aid after disasters. A recent NPR investigation found that federal emergency funding does not often reach people who need it the most. Instead, white people and people whose property is worth more get a disproportionate amount of aid. Robert Benincasa is a producer for NPR Investigations. He researched and reported on the thousands of disaster buyouts FEMA doesn't want you to see. And he's joining me now from NPR in Washington. Robert, welcome.
Thank you. Good morning.
Well, you and your team uncovered inequity in federal funding after disasters. This was in 46 out of 50 states. How first did you discover this?
The bigger picture here is that disasters are getting more common. So there's more opportunities for people to apply for aid. And so we looked at a particular aid program called the buyout program. It's where the government steps in and buys a property like a house so that it never experiences another disaster again, another insurance claim. No one there will ever be in harm's way again. And the government comes in and pays the homeowner or the property owner the market value of that house prior to the disaster. Mm-hmm. And so we asked FEMA for the database of these properties. They refused, and we ended up, NPR sued FEMA and actually got the database of properties after a federal lawsuit.
Okay, so that is the details on the disaster buyouts FEMA didn't want you to see. What did you find there?
Well, we found that most of the buyouts happened in zip codes or neighborhoods, for lack of a better word, where the population was more than 85% white and non-Hispanic. Now, this is out of step with the national population, which is 62% white and non-Hispanic. So this, to us, you know, sort of mirrored the existing inequities in the economy along racial lines. White households are more likely to own a home in the first place. They're more likely to have positive equity in that home, which is important. If you want to take advantage of a buyout, you have to be able to financially survive that process so that when you get the money from the buyout, you can pay off your mortgage on the house and move on. So, well, we saw this as mirroring those inequities across households on racial lines mm-hmm. in the country.
And so you looked at a cluster of these households in Manville, New Jersey. Your colleague Rebecca Hersher looked at another in Houston, where there was devastating flooding by Hurricane Harvey in 2017.
We lost all it in just one day. We lost everything.
And when families lose everything in disasters, they turn to the federal government for financial help. But when the Evans and Papadopoulos families started applying for federal aid, they had radically different experiences. Experiences that are emblematic of a trend: widening inequality after disasters, exacerbated by federal disaster spending.
The white Papadopoulos family, they got $30,000 from FEMA because they owned a home. IRS gave them more than $100,000 in refunded taxes. Janice Perry Evans, the other person that she looked at, black single mother, she got $2,666. Junia Howell at the University of Pittsburgh published multiple studies on how money is dispersed after disasters. Here she is.
We see these same patterns of wealth inequality being exacerbated in communities that receive more FEMA aid. But that's particularly true along racial lines, along lines of education, as well as home ownership versus renting.
So how does FEMA calculate which homes will qualify for buyouts?
Well, FEMA has guidelines that localities like counties and states have to follow. And the local governments or a county government will say, well, we want these homes in this area to be eligible for buyouts. And then the individual property owners will go through the process. But FEMA here in Washington, while they do provide the funding, they provide 75% of the funding for a buyout, they don't decide which homes are going to get a buyout.
That's up to local government?
It's up to local governments, local communities. And, you know, in many cases, it's been up to residents who've gone to their local government and said, we want this or we don't want this.
Mm-hmm. You did speak with David Morstead at FEMA headquarters in Washington, D.C. He oversees the buyout program, and you asked him whether FEMA considers economic or racial inequality for this program.
I'm not aware that there's been a specific study by FEMA or anyone else on the demographic distribution of that approach, but the approach itself is not one that would necessarily intentionally lead to those outcomes.
What do you take away from that?
I take away that FEMA isn't necessarily engaged on the local level and on a community level. They're not in the weeds about the specifics of which community is getting the money and all that. I believe him. I don't think that FEMA is that. My impression was that FEMA is not that engaged on this aspect of it.
Mm-hmm. So who then is not getting the help that they need after a disaster?
Well, you have to look at it this way. When a disaster happens, there are people who are going to be better positioned to take advantage of the help than others. And it might be something that many of us take for granted, like access to a computer, like knowing where your tax returns are, like knowing who to talk to. Those sorts of social inequities can be magnified in this stressful time after a disaster.
My guest is Robert Benincasa from NPR's investigations team, which sued FEMA for documents that showed that white communities benefit more from FEMA buyouts following disasters than people of color, who have often fewer resources. I want to get more into how FEMA funds the program, but state and local and municipal governments are involved. Who makes those kind of decisions?
Well, it's part of the emergency management and disaster plans of a county or a state, and they'll talk to the federal government, and they'll say, we're abiding by the federal guidelines, and we think that this community where there was a disaster like a flood or a wildfire, that these folks should be able to get federal buyouts. And then the federal government will come in, and they'll pay 3/4 of the price, and the locality or the state will pay 25%, and that's basically how it shakes out. It's a joint effort, but FEMA really is more the entity that's writing the check.
Well, you looked at a cluster of buyouts in Lost Valley. This is a neighborhood of Manville, New Jersey. I think it was Hurricane Floyd. And talked to people who were considering buyouts, including Eleanor Neilowaki.
After the first flood, people began thinking, is it time to get out? After the second flood, not again. And the third flood, we've had it.
So did Eleanor move on?
Eleanor did. Her process, like many people, it took a few years for her paperwork to go through and all that. And she and her husband were planning moving to Florida. And unfortunately, her husband died just before they got the buyout. But she did move down to Florida, and she's glad she did. For a lot of people, they're ambivalent. It's their home. She was there for many years. And they're thinking, well, do I want to leave or do I want to stay and try to rebuild my house? What happens when there's the next flood? And that was part of the thinking that she and her neighbors have been going through.
So you got a sense of how communities are affected after people who can afford to leave, have their homes bought out, do. Manville School Superintendent Robert Beers gave you a vision of what it's meant for schools there.
So we had a pretty large demographic shift in town, right, where our frame-reduced lunch rates and poverty rate went up significantly. And we also lost 24% of our ratables.
Ratables means houses that are taxed to pay for the schools. In all, officials say about 150 homes have been bought out. Another 80 are abandoned, and 200 more will likely take buyouts in the future.
We've had to cut programs, class sizes have grown, and quite frankly, we haven't been able to offer the supports that our students so desperately need.
So what happens after a disaster and many of the people who can afford to or who are white, frankly, leave towns behind. What does that look like?
Well, the incomes in Manville, they dropped, and the property values dropped in comparison with other towns around Manville. And the demographics of the town started to change. The Hispanic population became higher in town, and the kids who were many of the kids who were only speaking Spanish in the home, they needed those extra services in the schools, and that's why we spoke with the superintendent of schools. They needed help dealing, you know, about, you know, learning English and that sort of thing. So the demographics of the town shifted, the income and the wealth of the town sort of changed at that point.
So cities are often unequal to begin with, and towns and suburbs in America. Atlanta, for example, was the city with the highest income disparity in the U.S. How does this get exacerbated and shown differently by natural disaster?
Well, you played a clip of Junia Howell, and I think some of her work and some of the things that we found in through our reporting is that, again, the folks who are better positioned to take advantage of the help that's out there go ahead and they take advantage of it, and they find themselves more resilient after the disaster. Their own household wealth and resources might get better after a disaster.
So rich get richer and poor get poorer?
Yes, that's unfortunately, that's so that's one way of putting it. Yes. Someone who couldn't take advantage, they're going to suffer, they're going to take that hit. In a much more substantial way, and they're going to have more problems financially and personally because of the financial and the personal trauma of that disaster.
Well, FEMA, of course, is a big, huge federal agency, and they're making calculations based on worth and value that's in front of them on a piece of paper. A house is worth more than somebody who is renting, right? So which other kind of calculations could even be considered to get aid to people who need it the most?
Well, there are people who are part of this conversation who are saying that policymakers need to start looking harder at social factors, like the things that we're talking about. You know, I'm not going to opine on that. I'm going to leave that to the policymakers. But I think that when we talk more about climate change in the future, we're going to be talking not only about the science of climate change, but about how families and individuals in different circumstances and in different kinds of communities are able to survive and move on and have their changing circumstances, you know, made better potentially after a disaster. So I think that moving forward, that conversation is going to include a lot of those aspects.
Robert Benincasa, thank you so much for your reporting and for your time.
My pleasure, Virginia.
Robert Benincasa from NPR's investigations team, which found that white communities benefit more from FEMA buyouts following disasters than from people of color. You can read more about the results of the investigation and some stories from Robert and his colleague Rebecca Hersher. That's at gpbnews.org. Stay with us. There's more on Second Thought coming up after a short break.